Last week, Daryl was teaching on that V is for vision. That's right. So he was teaching on that last week. And so this week, I'm teaching on that I is for integrity. Now, this isn't a new thing for us. We've been running Vibe. It started off as a youth ministry, first of all, and we've been running it now for, we were counting up the other day, 16 years. That is crazy. I'm like, what age was I whenever we started? Like 2-year-old or something? No, we were just engaged. Daryl and I were just engaged. And we knew that we wanted to live lives that were like all out for God, that we just wanted to serve him and that we wanted to be a blessing to our local community. And so we ended up starting up Vibe as a youth group at the time. And I remember Daryl saying, you know, we need to get a really good name for our youth because, I mean, nowadays everything is just called like the name of the church and then youth. Or, you know, like here at church here, then we have Vibe Kids. But then at the time, I remember everybody wanted to have like the best name ever for their youth group. And so Daryl was like, we are going to call it Vibe. We're going to call it Vibe. And I was like, Vibe, yeah, that's a cool name, but what does it mean? And Daryl said, right, I've got it. The V is for vision. The I is for integrity. The B is for boldness. And the E is for evangelism. I was like, whoa, that's really, really good, Daryl. And in my head, I knew what vision was, and I knew I had an understanding of what boldness was, and I knew what evangelism was. But that I in the middle for integrity, I had to ask Daryl, what does that word actually mean? And I remember him saying that it was about being one. It was about being honest. It was about being upright. It was about living, you know, with an attitude that, like, what you see on the outside is what you get. That, you know, I'm not two different people, but I am just, like, when you meet me, then that will always be me. You know, I have full integrity. I'm not living differently in private than what I am in public. And it's a heart that is after God. I remember him sharing it like that. And still at the time, I was thinking to myself, yeah, I get it. I get that we're supposed to be like that as Christians. But I had very rarely seen integrity modeled in my life. And I didn't have a full concept of still what integrity was. And so today, thank the Lord, 16 years later, I have a bit more of a concept of what integrity is. And so it's my turn this week to share with you on integrity. And the Bible has some great things to say about integrity. In fact, it's full of teaching us about integrity. There's people with integrity in the Bible. God's commandments and his values and his rules and his statutes are full of integrity. He's always calling us to more. And I just want to say from the very outset today, that everything that I am sharing today isn't condemnation, it isn't criticism, but simply it's just calling us to more. And you know, God is not finished with you yet. He's not finished with me yet. It doesn't matter how long we have been Christians, whether it is for 5 minutes, whether it's for 30 years or more. But you know what? God is never done refining us, developing our character, honing us, and making us more like him. As we lean into him today, allow him today to set integrity again in our hearts. And as we fix our eyes on him, on Jesus today, then I believe that he is going to reveal more of his character to us so that we can walk in integrity. So the integrity definition in the dictionary is to be completely honest. And another definition is that it's the state of being whole and undivided. Whole and undivided. So it's like made of one thing. You're just whole and you're undivided. And thinking about integrity right now in the world that we live in, this word integrity has more value, or it means more, it's more crucial now than ever before that we understand as Christians what integrity is. Like 16 years ago when we started up Vibe as a youth ministry, Daryl said this word integrity, and I just assumed that that's just what you did as a Christian. Now it's that as Christians, planted in church, planted in communities, and planted in our workplaces and families and just in the culture around us, it's actually a greater pressure now to have integrity than I believe even what it was 16 years ago. I feel like that to have integrity now takes even more of an effort. It takes even more of an understanding. It takes even more of the right choice and the right decision than even what it did 16 years ago. What do I mean by that? Well, right now we are living in a time where black and white isn't simply black and white anymore. You know, you have all these gray areas in between, and everyone can decide on what their truth is rather than right being right and wrong being wrong. And so for us to know what the Bible says and what God says about what integrity is super important, but not just for us to know it, but for us to have the confidence to be able to live it out, have the boldness and the bravery to be integral and to stand for God and to stand up for what is right whenever he calls us to do that and whenever the need is there. It is more crucial now than ever before that we understand what integrity is and that we live with it as a high value in our lives. You see, if we don't have integrity, then we're just blown around like waves in the sea from this place to that place. But with integrity, then we know what God says and we stick to that. You know, it was a high value, not just now, but it's been a high value for God all along. Why? Because he is good, because he is integral. And when Paul the Apostle was writing to the church in Ephesus, he wrote the book of Ephesians. And when he wrote that book, he had integrity as a high value in his life, so much so that he was instructing other people to do the same. Here's what he says in chapter 4, verse 1, and we're going to read from 1 to 6. And just before we do, by the way, grab yourself a Bible, grab yourself a notebook and a pen, and maybe a highlighter. If it's handy to be able to get those things right now, then do that. If not, get your Bible app open on your phone, get your notes app open up on your phone, and start to take some notes, because you will be so surprised going back to those notes afterwards, just at what God wants to reveal to you through it. But there's nothing like having a real Bible with a real pen and a real highlighter and a real notebook right beside it to be able to just write as and when you feel God putting things on your heart and you say, right, that's a note that I want to remember. So in Ephesians 4, verse 1, it says, therefore I, the prisoner in the Lord, and this is Paul talking, and at the time he is a prisoner for God. So he says, I urge you to walk worthy of the calling that you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope at your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. If you have time, I just want you to look over those verses there from verse 4, where it says there is one body and one Spirit. And every place that it says one this or one that, just highlight it or underline it and come back to it. I think there's 7 times here where Paul says that there's one this and there's one that. He's saying that there is one body, there's one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. He's making the point that there is one, that the kingdom of God is not divided, that we are to live in a way that, just like it said in verse 1, a way that is worthy of the calling that we have received on our lives. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, you have been called. You have been called to serve him. But Paul is telling us that he's urging us to walk worthy of the calling that we have received. You see, it's not just a call all in where we get saved and that's great, we're going to heaven someday and we can live whatever way that we like. But actually, he says, it's time to walk worthy of the calling that you have received. You see, here he's calling the Christians to more, and God is calling us to more today. There is more in him. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. You see, when we fix our eyes on our one Savior, and when we agree that we are in one Spirit and that we are serving the one God and Father of all, who it says is above all and through all and in all, then we have unity. And unity is what God desires the most. The problem is that many of us have been disillusioned by integrity. We've been looking at other people instead of looking at God. We've been looking at other Christians, maybe in our church, maybe in your family. Maybe you grew up and you didn't have any Christians around you apart from your grumpy old next door neighbor who was a Christian but was a real grump. Who knows? But either way, you've looked to other Christians for integrity rather than looking to God. How can we have integrity when we have no concept of what it is? And if you've grown up in an atmosphere where you didn't see very much integrity, it is really hard to even know what integrity is and how to be integral. But this book, the Bible, is full of instruction. It's full of God's words teaching us how to live lives of integrity. You see, we don't need to get lost. We don't need to have those there big questions, because all it takes is to open up his book. You know, whenever you Google, when you go into maybe the Bible bookshop and look for a book, there's books on this stuff. We are not hopeless. We are not left just with our questions. God wants to answer us today. Here's what it says in a book that I've been reading recently. I was reading a book by a man called Rob Parsons, and he has this book which has a really long title, but it does what it says on the tin. At least I hope so. I haven't proved it just yet, but it says... It's called How to Bring Your Kids Up in Church Without Them Hating God. And Rob Parsons makes the point that most teenagers who walk away from church aren't actually walking away from God at all. It's not God that they have the problem with. It's not God that they feel let them down. In fact, they leave the church and they decide to go their own way because they're walking away from the people. All they see is hypocrites, judgmental critics. All they see is the bar being far too high, or their identity just not fitting in with the identity that is accepted in their church. And instead, then they say, I can't do it anymore. I can't live this dual life anymore. I'm going to have to choose one way or another. And if your way points to God and that's what that looks like, then I can't do it. I'm going to have to turn my way. And that's whenever they walk away from church. And I've seen that time and time again with people in my life, in my own life. But so many times we walk away from God. Maybe if that's not physically, maybe it's just a heart attitude. We walk away because we say, I haven't seen integrity there. And in fact, it's the people that haven't had integrity, not God. He is always integral. He is always good. Jesus even said it himself, only God is good. There's a point in the word where it says, he says, why do you call me good? Only the Father is good. He's making the point that he is God as well. And we get to fix our eyes on Jesus. We get to fix our eyes on God, and we have the help of the Holy Spirit to be able to do that. You see, you might look at the person next to you. You might be looking at your spouse right now, or your partner, or you might be thinking of your parents, and you might say, you know what? I know the good parts of them, but I also know the bad parts as well. Well, newsflash today, God doesn't have any bad parts. He is all good. So I don't know if you've been looking for a savior in the person next to you. I don't know if you've been looking to others to show you what goodness looks like, but it's time again to fix our eyes on Jesus, not on those around us. They are good. They are blessings in our lives, but God wants us to fix our eyes on him. You know, last summer, we were away to the beach a lot because it was actually good weather here in Northern Ireland. Anybody watching from Northern Ireland today, give me a thumbs up or a sunshine or something. It's been snow this weekend. But last year, we did have a good bit of sunshine. In fact, we had this incredible hot, over 30 degrees Celsius week. It was incredible. And in the run-up to that week, which ended up being our I Heart Armagh week, but in the run-up to that, I took the kids away to the beach for a week. And we went away with my mom and my stepdad, and we had a great time. And the weather was just starting to heat up, but it wasn't just too hot, and it was just perfect. And so we went to the beach, and I remember we went to one of the beaches at Portrush, and the kids went out in the sea, and, you know, I kept on looking out from the corner of my eye at them, but they were getting farther and farther and farther down the beach as they were out at the sea. And they came back after probably about 20 minutes or so, and they came running back and they said, "Mom, you moved, you moved, you moved all our stuff." I said, "No, I didn't move. It was you that moved." And I explained to them, look, when you go out into the current, when you go out into the sea, when you are there, then you need to be careful. Because while you are having a good time, those waves are coming in and they are pulling you out, coming in and pulling you out. And every time you jump over a wave, then you're getting just that little bit further down the beach. You need to keep checking every now and again, not all the time, but keep on checking and seeing where we are. And it's very easy to see where we are because that year we invested in a beautiful beach tent. Oh yeah, we were there to live. It was brilliant. So there was a beach tent. We had an orange beach tent. We had a, or was it green? I can't even remember. Let's say it was orange, okay? So we had an orange beach tent. We had a cool box. We had brightly colored tiles. And I said to the kids, look, when you go out into the sea, keep checking back and keep seeing where we are, because that will tell you where mommy is, and you will know that you're not lost and you won't be dragged away, way, way out. And so that was it for the rest of the time. Then they would get a little bit further on down the beach, but again, they would look and they would see, and it would take them by surprise every single time just how far that they had got down the beach. You know, God's word is just like that. God's word is like the markers. It's like the beach tent and the cool box and the beach tiles. God's word and his presence is our, they are our markers for where we need to be. When we are out in the sea and we're swimming out in the current, then we can get very, very easily distracted. We can get very easily swept away. And the Bible tells us that we are to be, that we are in the world, but we're not of the world. See, there's no point spending our whole time on the sandy shore. There's no point spending our time and not even going anywhere near the sea for the fear of, oh my goodness, we might just get dragged away. No, where's the enjoyment in that? I mean, come on. God created these things that we would be in them and that we would be able to enjoy them. And in the same way, when we are in the world, we are living our lives, we're not in church all the time, doors battened down with all the Christians in a holy huddle, but we are actually out there working, serving, bringing up our families, doing what we're doing. And God has set markers in our lives for us to look back at. He set markers in his word for us to look back at and to see. How do we look compared to where we should be? You know, God said that we were to be right here. Just stay right there. You can go and you can have a good time, but just stay right there. Here's the parameters. Here's the markers. Stay between the tent and the cool box. That is where you need to stay. And so very practically and very simply, I want us to think about the word of God as that marker in our lives that we can look back on and we can say, Lord, whoa, have I drifted? Have I gone downstream a little bit too far? Like, you know, have I got a little bit carried away? Sometimes it's really hard for us to know and to gauge what that looks like in our lives. because we're just living each day. But today I want us to have a look at seven key things that will tell us if we need an integrity check in our lives. Is that okay? Are you up for that? Yes, give me a thumbs up. Good. You know, God's values and the world's values are completely different. They're two completely different things. The world says, you do you, doesn't it? How many times have you heard that saying? You do you. Or here's another one, each to their own, each to their own. And if we're not careful, we will live by our own integrity than by God's integrity. One day when I was just newly married and, you know, it was newly wedded bliss until one day and we had the, you know, the mother of all fights. And I remember I was living, where we're living now, only it feels like home now, but newly moved to South Armagh and we were living there and I remember Daryl and I fell out. My parents lived in Scotland. I felt like I was completely alone. And I remember just being so mad. I got in the car and I decided I am going to drive away. Now, goodness knows where I was going to go to. Goodness knows how I was going to survive, but I just needed to run away. So I got in the car and I drove off. Now, the thing is, where we live is about a mile from the border, so we're very close to the south of Ireland, and your phone signal does not work in the south of Ireland. It's a different currency. You know, there's a lot that is different. Even road markings and everything are different. So we only live about a mile or two from the border, and here was me going out in the car, no clue where I was at all. I knew how to get home from Armagh, which was about a 15-minute drive or so, and I knew how to get home from there, but apart from that, I didn't know where in the world I was. And so I remember driving out of our driveway, and I thought to myself, right, I have a plan. In fact, I have a value system. I have a rule book, and that is, if I just take a right at the end of every road, then I know that I'm gonna come back safely home. Because it made sense in my little brain that every time that I would take a right turn, then I would just go round in a circle and I would end up back home. And it did not work like that. In fact, an hour or two later, I was stuck in the south of Ireland, no clue where I was at all, and I was totally, totally lost. My phone wasn't working. I didn't have any money with me. The car was running out of petrol. And then finally I saw a little shop that had a petrol pump outside of it. And I thought, oh my goodness, maybe I could just sweet talk the person into giving me some free petrol or something that I could actually get home. I felt like I was miles and miles away. And I stopped and I asked the person in the shop, where am I? And he told me, and I said, I think like I live near Katie somewhere. And he says, okay, well, no problem. If you just go to the end of this road, turn, go to the end of that road, down another road, whatever it was, you're going to find your way to the local town near where you live. Do you think you'll be able to get home from there? And I said, yes, I definitely will be able to get home from there. Well, anyway, long story short, I got home, walked through the door, and actually Daryl hadn't even realized that I had been gone. So that shows you the state of our marriage at the time. It's a lot better now. But when I was away on that little journey, that little expedition, I decided to make up my own rules. And in fact, what I needed at that point was I needed a map. I needed something that was going to show me the direction. I needed Google Maps on my phone. That's what I needed. I needed to be able to look and to see where I was and to be able to get home, set that little directions button, click start to my journey, and have somebody in front of me that was going to be able to direct me the way home. And that's exactly what God's word is like. And that's exactly what being in his presence is like. Do you know that it says in his word that God and his word are one? They are one. So whether that is opening up your Bible, which is great to do, whether that is being in his presence, which is great to do, God and his word are one. And he is our map. He's our roadmap for life. And in black and white, this book tells us, gives us instructions for how we need to live our lives. The Bible has a high emphasis on integrity, and Proverbs 10 verse 9 says, whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his ways crooked will be found out. So what are the seven key markers, Nikki, that you talk about that are going to show me if I need an integrity check or not? Well, let's get straight into them. So number one, God's approval matters less to you than others' approval. You need an integrity check when God's approval matters less to you than others' approval. What does that mean? Well, right now, when we are living in a culture where most of our socializing is done online, and it's all about how good we look, and it's all about what we're presenting to other people to be accepted, because we don't want to be rejected, maybe you are putting all your time and energy into your Instagram account, trying to get as many followers as possible, because you just want to get to the point where you might just get a blue tick. Imagine what a big dream. I want to get a blue tick beside my name. I want to have loads of followers, thousands of followers, even millions of followers. Well, I don't know whether you're going to be Justin Bieber or something like that, but you know, does others' approval matter to you more than God's approval? You see, here's the thing. We can be spending most of our time every day doing things and acting in certain ways that are looking for other people's approval, rather than standing in the verification and the identity of who God says that we already are before we even have to do anything. You see, he says, you are accepted, you are loved, you are created in my image, you are created with purpose and with worth. I have placed a high calling on your life. Now it's time to just live it out. Not living it out in a way where you're trying to get other people's approval all the time, but God just says, you know what? What are you doing in the secret place? What are you doing when nobody else is looking? What are you doing? How are you spending time with me? How are you serving me? How are you serving others in my name? The stuff that isn't going up on Instagram, the stuff that isn't going up on the stories. You see, if we take away our need for other people's approval, then the pressure comes off, because we say, actually, I don't care whether I'm accepted or I'm rejected. I'm just living for Jesus every day. I'm just living worthy of the calling that he has placed on my life. Sometimes it shocks me the things that I see on Instagram. Sometimes the photos that I see put up on Instagram or things that people are doing, and it shocks me whenever I see other Christians and some of the posts that go up on Instagram, and I say, whoa, that is crazy. I can't believe that, like, that's what they're doing, or I can't believe that that's how far that they have drifted from where they used to be. And the fact is that when it goes up on Instagram, when those photos go up, the drift happened a long time before that. And so it's a check for each one of us. Are we living for the approval of others, or are we standing in the approval that God has already placed on our lives? Is it about having the perfect body, having the perfect lifestyle, having the perfect kids, having the perfect home, having the perfect life? Or is it about Jesus, the perfect one that we are following? Number two, you know that you need an integrity check when your will is more important than God's will. In Matthew 26, verse 39, it says about Jesus, and this is the night before he was taken away to be crucified. It says, he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. You see, here, Jesus was saying to God, I know what is coming. I know what your will is for my life. My whole life has been lived for this moment. I know the pain and the agony and just the brutality of what I am about to face. I know that this is going to be the worst thing ever imaginable. And he says, Father, is there any other way? Is there any other way, like any other way that wouldn't be what I know that your will is? And then he says this word, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And I wonder today, will we have a nevertheless attitude? Lord, no matter what is coming my way, instead of it being my will, God, it is your will over mine. You see, we can go very easily from a place of, oh Lord, I just want to meet, like, I want to meet a Christian guy who is sold out for you. I want to meet somebody who you know, just has a heart for you and is more in love with you, Jesus, than I am. And maybe you're praying for that if you're a girl. Maybe you're praying for a girl if you're a guy. And you're saying, oh, I want the very, very best that God has for me. And then as the years go on and as the time passes and as your patience decreases, you start to say, please, God, please, you know the desire of my heart. This is what I want. I really, really want it. And then you start to say, Lord, this is what I need. Like, I want a guy who's, you know, I want a guy who's a Christian, you know, as long as he goes to church. And then it becomes, Lord, I just want a guy. Like, I just want a guy, okay? You know, I'll get him saved, Lord. Just bring him into my life. And like, you know, we'll do wonders with him after that. But Lord, I just want a guy. And maybe you have been like that there, asking God, first of all, for his will, but then turning it around to what your will is. I want to remind you that God has the very best for you, that his plan and his will for your life is perfect. And it's all to bring him glory. It isn't about us. It is about him. And if there is a generation who will rise up at this point, who have a nevertheless attitude, Lord, even if I die, Lord, I am serving you. Even if I am rejected, Lord, I am giving you my all and I'm standing for you. Lord, even if I lose everything that is valuable to me and worthwhile, Lord, it is you all the way. I am fixing my eyes on you. Even if I don't get that job, even if I don't get that spouse, even if I don't get what success looks like in the world's eyes, Lord, it is your will over mine. I know that my identity is in you. And Lord, I give you my life again. The Bible is full of people who have integrity. But not one of them, apart from Jesus, is perfect. And I want to remind you today that you don't have to be perfect to have integrity. You just have to keep on looking at your markers. You just have to keep on fixing your eyes on Jesus. Keep coming back to that place where he is number one in your life. You know, I was thinking about different people in the Bible. Many, many times throughout the Old Testament, God says that he's looking for just one person. Who will go for me? I'm looking for just one person. Sodom and Gomorrah, which was the city in one of the cities in the Old Testament, God wanted to destroy that city because there wasn't even 10 people who were sold out for him. There wasn't even 10 people who had integrity and loved the Lord. He started off saying, I will destroy it if there isn't 50. I will destroy it if there isn't 20. And then he gets down to 10 people. He says, would there even be 10 people that love me? And then later on, in so many different verses, we can see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they are sold out for God and go into the fiery furnace. And they say, even if we're burned, then nevertheless, we will serve our Lord. Daniel gets thrown into the lion's den. He knows that those lions can eat him in a minute. But he says, and even if I will serve the Lord, even if the worst happens and I lose my life, I will serve the Lord, even if I will be imprisoned. Later on, or then there's Moses, there's Isaiah. Isaiah says, here I am, Lord, send me. There's Job, who lost absolutely everything in his life that he loved. And still it says that he was a man of integrity and he never lost his faith. There are so many people throughout the Bible full of stories. It's full of stories that tell us about people who never lost their faith, or people who maybe they did lose their faith for a while, but they turned and they fixed their eyes back on the Lord again, and he rescued them and he picked them up and he took them back in line with him. And that's what integrity is. That's what integrity is. It's fixing our eyes on God. You know that you need an integrity check when, number three, you are being more conformed by this world than being transformed by the Lord. Romans 12, verse 2, Daryl shared it last week and I'll share it again. It says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and what is... Let's go again. Romans 12, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, here's a question. Are you being more conformed to this world, or are you being transformed by what it says, the renewing of our minds? How we get transformed is spending time in the Word, spending time in His presence. But how we be conformed to this world is by letting all the trials, all the struggles, all the things, the bad stuff that we have gone through rob us, steal, and destroy from who we are, from our character. You see, maybe today you are joining in here and you're listening and you're saying, you know, the things that have happened to me in my life have been so bad. They have robbed me. They have taken from me. They have stole. And I have no more joy left. And I have no more hope left. And in fact, I am now on a mission to put things right. Maybe you have let everything that this world and maybe people in your life have thrown against you. And instead, you need to give that to God. Give that hurt. Give that pain to Him. He is more than able. It isn't too small for Him. It isn't too big for Him. He is able to transform you. He is able to heal you. But He wants to be close to you today. His word tells us, draw close to Him and He will draw close to us. Open up His word today. See what it says. Allow yourself to be full again of hope. Allow Him to fill you again with His presence. You see, maybe every trial has made you more bitter, more hard-hearted. Maybe you want revenge and you want vindication. There's a massive difference between judgmental, or between justice and vindication. Sometimes what might look noble on the outside, I'm just going to prove a point. I'm just going to get my own back. I'm just going to get the victory that I should have had before. Sometimes it looks noble on the outside, but actually the root of it is fear on the inside. I want to ask you today, will you be vulnerable enough to allow God to reach into your heart and to heal it, to reach in and to make it better, to reach in and to pull that hurt out, and to be able to pull that fear out, and to be able to pour His love in right now. He wants to fill you with His love afresh. I know that what you went through was hard. I know that you had no control over it. But you know, He is here with you today, and He wants to heal you, and He wants to transform your life. And He speaks a better word over your life. His word heals and His presence transforms. Number four, you know you need an integrity check when you're spectating more than you are participating. You see, we are to be hearers and doers of the word. That's what the Bible says. It also says that faith without works is dead. You know, if you are spectating more than you're participating, then you are missing out big time. And here in this church in Vibe, we love to participate. In fact, most of the time when somebody comes along to church and they're here just for a few weeks, we're already starting to think of what could they do? How could they serve? How could they come into this community? How could they be part of what is going on and experience the blessing of what is going on? Maybe you have started to just spectate and you've started to see the things that are being done wrong and you say, oh, well, if I was doing that, then I would do it better. I want to tell you, start participating, join a team, start to work with others and start to put your hand to the plow, as it says, and start to serve God again. You know, the time has come to be able to serve. And the Bible tells us that the laborers are few. It also says that we were created to serve. We are all a different part of the body with a different function. We all have our own skills, our own abilities. We all have different personalities. We all have different senses of humor. We all connect in different ways. Wow. Isn't the church a beautiful place? God has a place for every person to serve. And it's time that we start to participate in what is happening rather than just spectating. You see, to serve says to God, I am thankful for what you've done for me, Lord, and I love you in return. This is what I do for you. Everything, do it unto the Lord, not to people, but to the Lord. everything. Whether that is cleaning the toilet, whether that's serving the tuck shop at youth club, whether that is hoovering during the week, whether it is preaching, whether it's being part of the worship team, whatever your gift is, allow the Lord to develop that gift and watch and see what he does in your life. Just having an open heart to say, Lord, I want to serve you. Someday we will stand before the Lord and he's going to say to us, what did you do with my son? And you know, being part of a church is a beautiful thing. Being part and serving and doing your part and working with others and being on a team is a beautiful thing. And it is something that we shouldn't stop doing. So number five, we're getting to it. We're almost to number seven. Thank you for sticking with me. So number five, you know you need an integrity check when you are comparing and competing with others rather than celebrating them. You know, the Bible tells us that we are to love others like we love ourselves. And maybe that's no problem to you. You can love others, no problem. But the big problem is you just don't love yourself enough. Well, how can we love others if we don't love ourselves? You see, some of us, we say, yeah, hey, I know what that's about, you know, being part of the body and everything. The problem is that I really want to be like the mouth. You know, I want to be the person that is that gets to do all the stuff. I want to talk. I want to share my opinion. I want to be the mouth. I want to be like 50 mile an hour like my mouth is. But God has made me the little toe. And in fact, I'm an ugly little toe at that. And I don't really like it very much. And so because I don't like it and I don't see the value and I don't see the use in it, then I've just decided I'm not going to be a little toe anymore. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to serve the Lord where I'm at. And because, you know, I have visions for being something else. But do you know that what God says? He says, I have created you with purpose. Whether you are seen or whether you are not seen, whether it is in the public or whether it's in private, you know, sometimes it's really funny. We want to be a private person and the Lord calls us to be in the public. Other people want to be out there, but the Lord says, I want to develop your character in the private place before I can trust you to be in the public place. But you know, if the little toe decided not to be the little toe anymore, do you know what would happen to the whole body? It would be out of balance. In fact, every time that the person would put their foot down, then they would fall over because the little toe, as insignificant and ugly as it looks, is actually a very, very important part of the body. It gives us our balance. And so the Lord wants his church to be in full balance, us knowing who we are, us accepting the calling that he has put on our lives. And just like we read at the start, living in a way, walking in a way that is worthy of the calling that he has put on our lives. So instead of comparing ourselves with other people and competing with others, it's time to celebrate them. It's time to say, hey, I am more than confident being who I am and who God has called me to be. So much so that, you know, that I lift you up. I celebrate what God's doing in your life. Your achievements and the blessing on your life does not take away from the blessing on mine, because I am so confident with who I am and with the identity that he has placed on me. That is the attitude that God wants each of us to have. And if we have started to compare and compete against others, rather than celebrating with them, it's time for an integrity check. It's time to get into the word, to say, Lord, what do you say about me? Whoa, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, that you have plans for me that are to prosper me and not harm, that, Lord, you have a hope and a future for my life, that before I was even born, that you had a plan for me. I mean, the word is full of identity to be put into our hearts, and it's time to get into it. Now, number six, and we're nearly getting to the end, but number six, you know you need an integrity check when you have stopped gathering and started isolating. Here in Vibe Church, this is how we do integrity. Here in Vibe Church, we gather. We are part of the church together. We are not isolated. Why? Because where there is community, then there is unity. And where there is unity, the word tells us that God commands the blessing. Bill Johnson puts it like this, and I might have shared it here before, but unity isn't found in uniformity. It's actually found in diversity. Because it's only whenever we recognize that we are different that then we can say, well, actually, what do we agree on? Well, the Lord has called us. We all have a love for him. We all believe in what this word says. Okay, well, let's unite on what God is saying. Let's unite around who he is, not just around what your preferences are and my preferences are, but let's unite around his word. Let's unite around his vision, V for vision, and let's unite around his calling on our lives together. And let's serve one another in love. You see, this is how we do integrity. It's very hard to do integrity whenever you're off, isolated, away on your own, because just like me, you'll come up with your own rule of how to get to where you want to go instead of looking and seeing what God is saying. You know, we can do integrity really well in team. We can do integrity really well in family. Why? Because the closer you are to somebody, the more confident and comfortable they are at calling you out on the things that don't just line up with where they think that you're supposed to be or where God's word says that you're supposed to be. I know that if I started acting weird or I started doing something completely different to what was my norm, that if I started to live a life that just wasn't full of integrity, that didn't have the amount of integrity that I wanted it to have, then Daryl would very soon tell me, what is that all about? You know, if I started to, smoke, drink too much, started to swear all the time, things like that, he's not going to just let something like that happen. He's going to say, hang on a minute, I'm going to book my wife into some hospital somewhere because I want to see what's going on with her. And he's going to say to me, Nikki, this isn't who you are and it isn't who God says that you are. Like, those are kind of extreme examples, but it makes the point that when we are close to others, then we're more comfortable with being able to talk. We're comfortable with being able to be vulnerable with each other. You see, the devil's plan is always to isolate us and to lie to us. And it's just like when he got Eve alone, and she was easy prey at that point for his lies. We need each other. We need each other for healing, and we need each other for restoration. That we can pray with each other, that we can bear with one another in love, that we can be there to uphold and uplift each other. Now, last one today, you know that you need an integrity check when you've started compromising and you've stopped enduring. When you've started compromising and you've stopped enduring. You see, maybe you're listening today and you say, that is all well and good, but for me, it's too difficult to stand my ground. I want to be accepted. I want to be loved. I can't cope with the rejection anymore. It's just too hard. I feel isolated. I want to do my own thing. And, you know, I'll read my Bible every now and again, but really, it's just too difficult. It's just too difficult to do this Christian walk. Jesus says this today, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I accept you just the way that you are. I love you just the way that you are. You see, Jesus is our ultimate example. In the Bible, it tells us about his life. He's our ultimate example. We mentioned lots of people who had integrity in the Bible, but none of them were perfect. All of them let God down in one way or another. And for you and for me, we will have times where we get way down, too far down the beach. And then it's time to get back again. But Jesus, he was the only perfect one. And that's why we can look to him today. And I want to say to you that Jesus never compromised. He always endured. He never stopped enduring. In fact, let's think of it this way. When he was in the garden and he was praying, Lord, is there any other way? Nevertheless, not my will, Lord, but yours be done. He endured at that moment. You see, he endured every step of the way. When he left heaven's glory and came to earth as a baby, he endured. When he was ridiculed and he was bad-mouthed, he endured. When he was misunderstood, he endured. When he was rejected, he endured. When he wasn't accepted anymore by most of his followers, he endured. When he was sold for 30 little pieces of silver, he endured. When he was stripped naked and beaten beaten so brutally that he was unrecognizable. He endured. When he had a crown of thorns thrust on his head, he endured. When his hands and his feet were nailed to the cross, he endured. When he bore the weight of the world's sin and he cried out, "Father, forgive them because they don't know what they do," he endured. When he said, "It is finished," he had endured. And at that point, he died. And then what happened? He was rose again to life. And at that point, he could have said, "You know what? I would just want to go back to my Father. Now I've done my thing. I came and I did what I was supposed to do. And I set the earth free and I defeated Satan and I rose again. And this is great. And I'm away back up to heaven and see you later." But no, instead, he endured that bit more. Why? For us. He walked an extra 40 days on this earth and he endured. Why? Because he had important things to share with us. He had important instructions for what the disciples had to do next. And this hasn't changed for us today. I want to ask you today, will you endure? Will you endure? Because he is our example. Jesus is our example and he always endured. He never failed. He always endured. Here's what he said to the disciples, and this was his reason for staying here on earth for a bit longer. He said, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." You see, this is what he says to us today. And there is a call for greater and there's a call for higher. There's a call for integrity in our lives. Why? Because we are to serve his purposes. Because it's about his will being done, not our own. You see, it's our privilege to get to serve him. It's our privilege to live this exciting life with him and to live a life that is worthy of his calling. But unfortunately, we're so busy disqualifying ourselves from living with the integrity that we need, that he wants for us, that we just settle for so little because we say, "But I'm only human. Like, I can't do it. You know, I can't live up to that bar. I can't live up to that standard." But guess what? It is not too difficult because you don't have to do it on your own. Because even then, after those 40 days, when Jesus went back up to heaven, what did he do? He sent the same Spirit for you and for me to be able to face and to be able to endure whatever it is that we need to endure in this life. The same Spirit, it says, that rose Christ from the dead now lives inside you and inside me whenever we know him as Savior. And so you don't have to do this alone. And it is not impossible to have integrity. In fact, it is more than possible to have integrity and to live a life full of blessing, not just a mediocre life where you're just like, "Yeah, I'm saved, that's it, ticket to heaven and that's it," but living a life that is full of integrity, a life where you say, "Right, okay, I am out at sea, I am enjoying myself in the waters, I'm swimming in the current of the current culture that is happening, but I can see the markers, I can see God's word, I can see where it is, and I'm going to do the hard work to be able to align myself with where he is and where he says that I'm supposed to be," just like that beach tent and that box, like I was saying. This word of God is our marker for where we need to be. You see, today I want to remind you that there is no condemnation to him who is in Christ. Today this word is to not bring you condemnation at all, but it's just simply for us to look at markers in our lives and say, "Okay, is this a marker? Do I need an integrity check?" It is so easy to wander. It's so easy to drift, but God wants to bring us back into alignment with him today. We can surely conquer with his strength in us. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives inside you today. And it's time to use that power. It's time to say, "Lord, I put my hands up. I can't do this on my own. I need you. I need your power. I need your strength." Is integrity a narrow path? Yes, it is. Is there effort involved in our side? Yes, there is. But is it worth it? Yes, it is. The kingdom of God is simple: righteousness, peace, and joy. If we live in his righteousness, then we have peace and joy. I know that the currents of this culture today are strong, but Jesus is stronger. And not only that, maybe today you're watching and you're saying, "You know what? Like, the tent, the marker that you're talking about was way, way, way up. In fact, I'm at a completely different beach now. I've drifted so far." I want to remind you today that God's love is not too small. His love is not too weak to reach you where you are. It doesn't matter how much that you have drifted. It doesn't matter how far away from God that you feel that you are. God loves you. He is for you. He is reaching out to you and he says, hey, that is wee buns for me. I can reach you right where you're at. In fact, I see you, I know you, and it's time to come back to where I need you to be. Just reach out to him. Say, Lord, today I give you my life again today. Lord, I am sorry for the times when I haven't had the integrity that I needed to have. I'm sorry that I forgot to look back because I was just swimming in the currents of this culture. Lord, I am sorry for the times whenever I compromised instead of enduring. Lord, I am choosing you again afresh today. Here's what Ephesians 3:18 says about God's love. It says that he wants us to know how wide, how long, how high and deep is the love of Christ, this love that surpasses knowledge. God's desire today, everyone, whoever you are watching this today, his desire for you is that you may be full to the measure of all the fullness of God. He wants to fill you completely. He wants to transform your mind. He wants to transform your thinking. He wants to bring you back where he is. He wants to hold you in his loving arms and heal those places inside of your heart. You are not too far gone. He loves you. He is for you. And he has a plan for your life that will blow your mind. So give your all again to him today. And follow him and decide it's Jesus for me all the way. Lord, I thank you for every person that is watching. I thank you for every person that has stuck with me this far. Lord Jesus, I pray your blessing, your hand on their life, Lord Jesus. And Lord, help us, Lord, to have a hunger for your word, that we get into the word of God. Lord, reveal your word to us, Lord. Have it change our hearts, transform our minds as we spend time in your presence. We love you, Lord Jesus. Amen.